Yes, yesterday we were commenting on the statement really the Shulchan Aruch makes in the very first sif, that in order for a woman to become a nida, at least on a deraisa level, she has to experience some sort of a hargosha. That was a din of Shmuel that we saw at length in the Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin, that she has to have some sort of a hargosha. And the question exactly was, well, what exactly is a hargosha? Okay, and a hargosha, how do we define? She has to have a hargosha, yeah. But what exactly is a hargosha? So we had so far two different opinions. There was the opinion of Tosus, where we suggested that's what Tosus meant in the Nida Daf Dalam al Aleph, right? Shadam Yotze Niftach was the language of Tosus. That whole, you know, I went through the whole sugya briefly just to get to that line in Tosus on Nida Daf Dalam al Aleph, right? Shamakom Sosum, because Shadam Yotze Niftach. When the Dam comes out, it opens up. Tosfos was not talking about Hargosha, but he does speak about the uterus kind of opening, so to speak, or at least there being a sensation of the uterus opening, and that's what is considered the Hargosha. That's implied in Tosfos, and it's said in Mefurish in the Shmos Hadesh. The Shmos Hadesh, we saw in Source 9, in Reish Menavav, he says that Shehergisha Ba'atzma Shenishtach Mekar La'otidam. So that's the definition of Hargosha according to those opinions. Then we discussed the Rambam, the Rambam seems to understand, he speaks about nizdazda, gufa nizdazda, she shakes or trembles, and that is the hargosha. According to the Rambam, it's some kind of shaking, and he doesn't mention any other sensation, he doesn't mention any other type of a feeling, just this the body shaking, so to speak, and so that's what he seems to say, but the question is, what exactly does he mean by that? We mentioned last time in 21, the Maram Shik has a tshuva, chelik ardeya simkuf pei beis. The Maram Shik understands the Rambam as referring to as he expands the Rambam. Let's look at it again. Let's see the language of the Rambam in Perek Hey, Halacha Yitzayin in Source 17, right? He says, afilu hirgish gufa v'nizdaza, right? He's talking about shaking or trembling. So the Maram Shik understands he has a broader definition of the Rambam, a broad application of the Rambam. The Maram Shik, I said, was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. So the Maram Shik says any type. Let's look at the words of the Maram Shik in 21. Tshuvas Maram Shik Chelik Eredeis in Kuf Pei Beis. He says, "Vafilu v'mashiskim arachon davka psichas pi amokor nikar gosha zevada lav davka lekol shenizdazu evareo v'nira dehu adin shar shinui." You see those words? It's not just trembling, but any other type of bodily, unusual bodily feeling, right? Any type of a shinon. The harmina b'huva rashi parshas tazviya, the chol isha shorizdam evarav, shorot, the roizdam, evarav erosha kovid aleha. Right? I think I printed that rashi, right? When a woman would have it, I think back in the, I thought I had that rashi somewhere. But anyway, Rata Rashi says over there in Chomish, that any woman who has a period, so I have the next one, it's 22, so the next one, right? He says, oh no, that's something else. But anyways, but any woman who has a period, so her limbs and her head feels heavy, and therefore he thinks that's what the Rambam means. Which you just read in Source 17, the Hargosha Mikim Agar Mizdazim Ze Lav Dafke. He doesn't just mean that kind of trembling. The vade who din afshar shinui beguf, any other type of change in the body, the headache, cramps, and these types of things. Okay, v'lachen ani choshes b'isha sheish lacholi ukeivim, right? Soreness, cramps, and stuff like that. The efshar the heim hargosha is demei amokra. Maybe that's a symbol of a hargosha. Oh, efshar hargosha is damak. Of course, it could be from something else. But anyway, he mentions this. He kind of has a broader definition of the Rambam. The Rambam is talking about physical symptoms. Now, the truth is, those physical symptoms, in the case of many women, occur before the actual period, before the actual is done. So he seems to be machmir the Ram Shik, saying, it's a critical question. I don't think the Ram Shik is widely accepted that all those things, all those cramps and stuff that come before are already called hargosha. If you look, remember back in the Ramban 16, right? And the Ramban in the Hilchos Nida Parak Dalet, Oz Aleph, the Ramban writes, "Ein Oshem Yistam Natar Atchet Targish B'Shosh Adam Yotzei B'Sarah." The whole discussion of Hargosha is when the Dam comes out, But the whole, whatever exactly the Hargosh is, but the Ramban is saying, yeah.
The Ramban there, when it says, Shalom Yitzik Yusara,
yeah.
That's coming out from...
Well, he doesn't, you know, it's, I don't know. We'll see in a second. Maybe not. I mean, Bivsara, we already know she can come and eat it if it's inside, as long as she can tell. But the point that I want to bring up in Ramban is that the whole discussion of Hargosha is when it's part of the dam coming out, the cramps, you can have a cramp a day or two before sometimes, a headache or upset stomach or whatever, you know, and probably what the Rambam means her body trembles, so to speak, at the time when it's discharging dam. But I'm, again, the Marshika, you know, is an important post. Like, I don't think it necessarily is, you know, is widely, I think Lamaisa, you know, people are not machmir for that definition. Hargosha, that's how he understands the Rambam. But anyway, that's, but more or less, that's within the Rambam that we're talking about in this Daza Gufa. Okay? And again, I showed you also like the Tosfos and Ksubas on Tzav Gimel Beis in 20 says Mishum Distam Midos Cholos Ktzas. There is some sort of, you know, illness or discomfort or irregular bodily behavior that accompanies the. I say it's irregular. I mean, it, you know, it's part of a period. I don't want to suggest that the period is something abnormal. Of course not. It's part of normal, you know, normal anatomy, but and normal physiology. But the it's abnormal in terms of the rest of the month, so to speak. So that's what I wanted to bring out over there. Anyway, so Ram Shik, I think that you know, he talks about headaches and feeling heavy and these things. I think is not generally accepted that view. Let's come now to the third position. Okay, the third definition of that we find in the Poskim. And as far as I know, although it's an exception, this is not really quoted from Rishonim. Okay, the Noda Behuda has a tshuva. Rabbi Yehuda, of course, was a major achronim. Rabbi Yehuda wrote the Cheskel Levi Landau of Prague. Also wrote the Tzlach, and his commentary, it's his commentary on the Gemara, and also the Dogel Mervova, which is printed on the side of the page in the Shulchan. Right, and his tshuvas are called Noda Behuda, the 23. He says this is Madura Kama Chelik Ardei Simon Nun Hei. Now he is not arguing against the idea of the sensation of psichas pi amokor. Okay, psichas amokor is for sure hargosha, but he mentioned he's not arguing; he's adding. He says as follows: 23. Let's read it together. Ata nuchalomar lechol haposkim beinan hargosha min haTorah. Okay, umay niu hargosha shiargishu. What exactly is? Everyone says you need a hargosha to be needed deraisa. Good. What is the hargosha? Shiargishu im hargosha is psichas hamokor. Okay, like the Tumas Hadeshin, right? The regular hargosha. She feels some sort of sensation of something opening. I think I mentioned yesterday that actually nothing really opens. Okay, it's not like there's some kind of a closed something in the skin that opens, or it's not like that. But the sensation is something opening. Okay. Oh, af also hargoshas zivas dover lach bivsara. She experiences what he calls zivas dover lach. A sensation of some kind of dover lach, a liquid or a fluid, there's some moisture, okay, coming out of her body. It doesn't say anything about trembling or opening, but she has a sensation inside of some kind of zivas dover lach, a flow of some sort of moisture from inside the body. That's the definition of the, no, she feels the dam or something moving down the vaginal canal, so to speak. Okay, that's also hargosha. And he has two rites. Again, the Rishonim didn't mention it. Rishonim mentioned either she felt the psichos piyamokor or her body trembled, whatever the Rambam means by that, the Maram Shik's definition, or maybe not. Okay, but he's saying something else. Some sensation of moisture coming down that part of the body, that is, according to the Noda Behuda, a hargosha as well. Now, he has a raya. Okay, that's all. I bring a raya. Okay, and it's, you know, the Noda Behuda, by the way, I mean, is Chuvas Alamdish very often. If you're not familiar, I'm certainly not familiar with all the Chuvas Noda Behuda, but I've seen many children of the Lomdish, you know, it's a Lomdish type of sefer in a way, you know. So anyway, the Noda Behuda writes that he brings a riot. The Vahare Ika Haragosha, Yala Shmuel, why? Because he said, let's go back. Where do we learn the whole din of Haragosha from? Right? The original source we had back in source number two, right? The din of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Bodka Karka Olam Yashla, just need a nun zayin of a base, right? Source two. Amar Shmuel, Bodka Karka Olam Yashla, Motzadam, the Torah, Shinemar, Biv Sora. Ad shetargish bivsara. Right, the whole limud that you need a hargosha altogether is learned from the word bivsara. Right, that's the marker. Ad shetargish, he darshins ad shetargish bivsara, challenges it, but Shmuel has his position. Right, ad shetargish bivsara. So says the Noda Behuda. So 1 second, he says, "Hari ikah hargosha." In the third line of 23 in this shuvah, Rabbi Huda writes, Yalav Shmuel Mibsara should targish Mibsara. Marei Hai Bosar Lava Bosar HaMokar Koi. Now, where does she feel this? With this drasha of Bibsara, I should targish Bibsara. Where? You know, which part of her flesh? Which part of her body? It can't be talking about the mocker, actually. It's not going to be talking about the uterus. Let's remember, the Gemara brought it up, right? There was another drasha we learned from Bibsara. Namely, that she's mitame when the blood is outside, even though it didn't come all the way outside yet, but it's already, you know, in the vaginal tract, the vaginal canal, didn't come outside yet. The same as inside. So in fact, the Gemara asks, how can you use Bibsara to teach you Achatagish Bibsara? We already used the word Bibsara to teach you what? That mitame bichutz kibifnim. So Gemara had okay, it said Bibsara with the hey, otherwise we'd say babas or whatever. But says in Rabbi Huda, Shop, he says, obviously, if they're learning two things from this word, again, it's not a violation of learning two things because it's a slightly different, sorry, fine. But fundamentally, what comes out is that two different things are learned from this, right? That number one, she has to have argosha, or put the other way around. Number one, that metam bachutz, and number two, even though it didn't come out of the body yet, and number two, that we have this Achatagish Bivsara. Mistama says in Rabbi Huda, the word Bivsara is referring to the same location in both drushes, right? It's got to be the same place in both drushes. It's the same word. So you have two different drushes. And then we explain why it's not a problem having two different drushes. But the word is still the word, says another Behuda. So the word mistama in the pasuk means one location. So we have two different dinim that we derive from that. So he says, Bar ikar hagashi yal shmol b'sar shadag b'sar b'hari hai basa lava basa makar koi sharmizel afinish mitam of nim kibachutz. But what does it mean? Blood's got to come out. It doesn't have to come all the way out of the body, but it's got to come into out of the mokor into this middle position, right? There's this prosthesis, so to speak. Mina shinayim, that's the, again, nothing to do with teeth in your mouth. We discussed that at the very beginning, right? Of the shinayim before, by the entrance to the uterus, right? So he says, im kain, hai b'sara, hai n'b'sara, shemini shinayim, alachutz. The word b'sara is referring to from outside the opening to the uterus towards the exit of the body, right? So says the Nota Behuda, well, if that's what Bisora means for that drasha, that's what it's got to mean, right? So then it also means for Ardush, Achat Targish Bisora, where? In that same area, okay? In that same area, which is outside the uterus. So that's what he says. If you feel Zivas, Dabar Alav, she feels moisture in that area, that's the Hargosha. You follow his lungus? I think it makes a lot of sense, okay? In other words, the Gemara derived the word Bisara that she can be mitame b'fnim just like mibachutz, all right? And which means, by the way, theoretically she can be a nida doraisa without even realizing it yet. And that's a different issue for, you know, but not for our discussion right now. And then the Gemara, you know, again, that's the bias apnimi is the uterus, the bias akhitzon is the vaginal canal. And the Gemara says that a woman is in nida when the blood flows from the pnimi to the chitzon, even if it didn't go out of the body yet. So Rabbi Huda said the word Bivsara teaches us both this din and the din of Argosha. It's got to be told with the same part of the body. And what part of the body is that? So he says it's the part of the body that's in the bias achitzon. So therefore, that's where the Hargosha is. Okay, in the vaginal area, that's the bias achitzon. So that's the now, what kind of Hargosha? So step two, what type of Hargosha takes place in that part in the vaginal canal? Nothing moves. The answer is feeling the moisture. If you follow that, that's the two steps. So the big sar has got to be talking about the same place as michutz, the first drasha, right? The imetame michutz kibifnim, right? The michutz means in the vaginal canal, right? That's what it means for that drasha. That's what it means for the drasha. Ad shetargish bivsara has got to mean the same thing with regards to hargosha. So what does she feel in that area? When it's, the answer is she feels the moisture. You follow? That's the am I making it clear? Everyone got it? That's the shita of the Rabbi Huda. Okay. So v'im kain gam kishtagish b'sara. Hainu boss is there. Or is that kvar huchutz from Pesach Hamokar? That's outside the Pesach Hamokar. That's outside of the. So he's not. He said you feel psichas hamokar. That's also agasha. But even if she didn't feel a psichas hamokar, but she could feel at a next stage, so to speak, the moisture in the vaginal canal. That's bivsara. That's the Bivsara, so that's the reference to feeling something moist in that area. That's Zivas Darala. Okay, that's the Nebihuda, and that's his Raya. Okay. He said, it doesn't say mocker, it says the bosser, bibsoros, and it's not part of the body. Okay, now, not only that, but he brings a second raya. So that's the first raya that the Nodav Yehuda brings from the Sugya of Nun Zion, from where we got it from the first place, right? So, bibsoros is referring to outside the mocker, right? So, but the second thing he says is based on a subsequent gemara on Daf Yud Zion, okay? On Daf Yud Zion, which is printed over here in 24, the Mishnah, says, Nimtza beprozdor, sveiko tomel v'cheshkosom en amokar. We had that thing at the very beginning of the year, right? She finds dam in that canal, the nimtza beprozdor, sveiko tomel, right? In that part of the body, she found dam in that part of the body. So sveiko tomel v'cheshkosom min hamokar. So says the Rabbi Huda, one second. The Gemara back on Nun Zion asked a batch of kashas. We saw three of them. I think Gemara had four of them. Okay, the Gemara had a batch of kashas against Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says you need a hargosha. The Gemara says, but what happens, with the Meir Aglaim case? Okay, there's no hargosha. No, she was hargosha, but it was hargosha Meir Aglaim. What happened to the case with the other one that she examined something? No, what was the second case? She examined the aid. Okay, that was the second case. Right? She examined it. It shouldn't depend on Hargosha. There was Hargosha, but it was the motion of the moving of the aid that caused it. And then the other was the Tashmish, right? So says in the Rabbi Huda, why didn't the Gemara ask from this Mishnah? This Mishnah, again, look at 24. The Mishnah says, Nimtza beprozdor, says in the Rabbi Huda, so why did the Gemara ask, what do you mean? Did she have argosha or not? The same kasha, right? Why did the Gemara ask that same kasha? What do you mean, Sveikoso Tomei? Let's ask. Let's figure out. Did she have argosha or not? Why did the Gemara ask the same kasha? That's what the Gemara says, right? Gemara could have asked the same kasha and did. Let's read his words. He says, "Mistabu od gam hochoch lezeh." Look at four lines down from the Nodav Yehuda 23. Shabichol ha-suga daf nun zayin ha-beis, shemefalpe la-hakshos kama kushios al-divrei Shmuel, the boy hargosha mi kama mishnayos ha-braises, v'loma lo-makshe, mi mishna de geduma perek sheni daf nun zayin ha-beis, dama nimtza prozo sveiko tomei. Hekadomi. He's putting the words into the Gemara. The Gemara could have asked, right? Ida argosha psichas ha-mokar im kein eidu sofik, right? Elo vada min ha-mokar. Why did the Gemara have the same kasha? So apparently you don't absolutely need a hargosha from the mokor. That would work, but you don't have to have that for it to qualify as hargosha. Ella hargosha zivas davalach b'sara. She can have a hargosha of this moisture, this fluid, the liquid in that part of the body. Can that would also be a hargosha? But there, uvazeh yev shalahachin imin amokar or min aliyah. But you don't know where the dam came from, hence the suffix. Right? The Gemara in the Mishnah of Zion says a suffix. So she felt that moisture taka. But who said maybe it was blood from somewhere else? Right? Who said that? That's gufa, the suffix the Mishnah was talking about. You follow? In other words, if it just would have been the only concern or the only criterion would have been psichas amokar, that's all the hargosh was needed. So the Yehuda is right. Why didn't the Gemara bring up that Mishnah and say, did she have a hargosha? The answer is because there's another hargosha. Another other hargosha would be inconclusive because she wouldn't know. That's gufa the suffix. She maybe has the sensation of moisture, but she doesn't know where the blood came from. So that's gufa the suffix. That's the Yehuda's other raya. Okay? So you can't know when it came from there. That's the suffix. So I don't think, again, he's not rejecting the Trumas Hadesh or the Tosos, that Tzichas Amokah would also be hargosha, but he's adding to it. So that is another Yehuda. Those are two rayas. Again, one is from Bibsara, because Bibsara, if it teaches two different things from the Pasuk, it's got to be referring to the same part of the body. Okay, yeah.
It sounds like he's saying that Tzichas Amokah is not hargosha, no?
Tzichas Amokah is not the only thing to be hargosha.
It sounds like he's saying, based on what he's saying, what's the marker for that?
He starts off the two of the two that we're reading.
I think he means up.
He's
also
explicitly,
Yeah. My new hargosha, Yisrael's got pisa makor. Oh, you know, oh af. I think it means a different one. You're talking about maybe you're talking about the end because it sounds like you're saying lo bein and klal hargosha's makor. That's your mother by the last line that.
No, just like he's saying that the whole
gemara
is mashma
that this is the shit for hargosha.
But yeah, but he
just. I think it means also. That's how it's. I don't think he's arguing. I think it means also. Okay, anyway, that's another Huda brings up, and I just want to point out this. I think some sofer, sorry, I can't remember. When I was looking. Somebody pointed out this wasn't my bikis, that's for sure. Okay, that it could be a drash boss. I said before this is from the Achronim, and everyone quotes it, the Huda and they quote from the Achronim, but it could be. Someone was medayik. I don't remember who now. I was medayik in the Rashbo at 25. The Torah Habayis Arach by Zion Shar Dalad, like Solomon. Look at 25. Dvar Torah Eina Isha Mitama Mishum Nida Ad Shetargish Bivsara Bishas Yitzias Dam, which sounds like the Rabban, which is not a surprise. The Rashbo was a Talmud Rabban, right? So he said like the Rabban, Bishas Yitzias Dam. Shenemar. So I would have expected to say just Bivsara. Right, the Joshua Bivsara, he quotes the whole phrase, Dam Yezova Bivsara Ajatagish Bivsara. So again, this is not exactly what I call an earth shattering riot, but maybe he says Dam Yezova, he's emphasizing the Zova, the flowing, right? Dam Yezova Bivsara, she feels the flow. Okay, maybe, okay, I'm not sure. Maybe that's the Rashba. I didn't make this up, but it could be, I saw it somewhere and I just. A little bit over, I couldn't find where. I think maybe somebody mentions this Rashbo in the Torah Habayis as suggesting that, okay, that he would happen to agree with the he was well before the Navi Yehuda, but in the same type of shita that it's a din inyan of Zofa, right? That's some kind of a flowing. Okay, but be that as it may, that's the position of the Navi Yehuda. So the Achronim after the Navi Yehuda, so I look to look at it now, all discuss this, okay. All the Achronim following the Rebbe Huda analyze the Shita. So, I'm saying maybe that Rashba. I don't know. I'm saying I stress again, not my bikis in terms of bias, but I saw somebody saying, I don't remember now who. Okay, somebody made the reference to Torah Sabai, suggesting that's what he's hinting at by quoting the whole phrase. We just say Bivsara al Shetagish Bivsara. Right? And that delay, look back in the original Gemara on the Zion in source 2, Shenamar Bivsara, as Shmuel says, the Gemara's lashon is Shenamar Bivsara Ad Shetagish Bivsara. The Rashba quotes the whole phrase. Okay, big deal. You can quote the whole phrase because he is quoting from the Torah. I'm not saying that it's a riot, but perhaps the fact that he's bringing up Dam Yezova, like an operative word is Zova, so he means, you know, flowing like the Rebbe said. Could be. Okay, could be. I don't know if it's actually, it's actually an ironclad riot, but could be it's in Rishonim. But anyway, the Achronim talk about it. So the Chavas Das, is from the Nesivis. Okay, he's known as the Nesivis. I guess it's a more famous work. Yaakov Lorbaum, of course, one of the Gedolei Achronim, the Nesivis HaMishpat, and Chosha Mishpat, and Yeredei is the Chavas Das. And Orachayim, and Orachayim, and other things from him. Anyway, so the Nesivis, the Chavas Das, right? And the two sections, I think I told you, the two parts of the Chavas Das. He has Biurim and Kedushim. No, shorter things and longer analysis. So Simon Kup Tzadi, later on, in Sikot Nalef, 26, Ad Shetagish. So he writes first, Vida, the Shloshamina Hargoshahim. When I see, he says we find three, he's a little after the Rebbe Huda. Not long after, but after. Say it again?
When was
the Rebbe Huda? Late 1700s, early 1800s. Okay, the Rebbe Huda, I think the Grod died in
1720.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, the Grod's in there. The Huda's a little bit later, a little younger, I think. Or maybe not. I don't have to look up.
Sending his
tshuva
with the
Bashem to tshuva. Yeah, right. So that's after. It's after, right? So a little younger, I think, a little younger than the Gaon. Although maybe not. The Chassam Sofer, when he was young, met the Rebbe Huda. He was right to the tshuva that he saw the Rebbe Huda. So it's mid-1700s. Anyway, the Chavos Das a little bit later. So anyway, You can check it out. I don't have the. I don't have a screen. I'll take a look at it. Yeah, so, huh?
It was
1713
to 1793.
Oh, so it is the same as the Gaon. Okay, so it's always Uliyahu. It's not. 1713 to 1793. Oh, so it's the same as the Gaon. Okay. And the Chassam Sofer was 17, what, 60 something to the Chassam Sofer? Right, right. Well, he was the same age, even though
he was 1762 to 1839.
Right, 1762. Right, so that's what I thought. And then Kivayeg was also around that time. Kivayeg and some stuff, I think was Kivayeg was 1761 maybe. Yeah. Or sorry, he was a year younger than he was a son of some stuff.
Yeah, 1761.
He was older, but he was older than some stuff. He married some stuff's daughter instead of Kivayeg's. No, the other way around. I'm sorry, some stuff married Kivayeg's. Some sort of married.
His first brother-in-law and
right. So he had three wives. Okay. Anyway, so the Chavis Das, you want to look it up? You have Yaakov Lorban. You have it there. When did he live? Also around that same time, a little later maybe.
Yeah.
All
right. He was 1768.
Yeah. Right, so they're all the same. I stand corrected. Yehuda was the same as the Gaon, same the lifetime. And he was, you know, the whole controversy, the whole Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz recommended controversy, that they were both older. But the Gaon sort of got involved a little bit. He wrote something, but no one knew who he was at that point. And then Rabbi, I think Taka had been involved. He was, everybody who was had a big community. The only Gaon had no, he wasn't a Rabbi community or, you know, Yeshiva. You know, he sat alone by himself all day. So he was lesser known, at least initially. I think at one point he wrote a letter. He wrote something that Gaon did defending Yonasan Eibeshitz. Yaakov Emden. So who is this? No, he was. You know, who was this person? Some rabbi in Vilna said this. You know, that wasn't impressed by it. Eventually, he knew who he was. Okay. Anyway. So the Chavis Das. So contemporary Chassam Sofer. So right, says three things, right? But a little after the Yehuda's point. That's the first thing. He mentioned that one first. Shnizdaz gufa, right? Their body trembles. Okay, and he quotes the Rambam. And Bays on the second, third line. Kishemargashas shniftach mikora. Okay, that she feels the opening of the uterus. That was the Shemitz Adeshim. Vashlishis nimsa b'shuta achronen. Okay, that's what he writes here. That's, you know, again, leaving this diak from the Taras Habayis out, he says, "Nimtza b'shuta achronin, k'shemargesha shedor alav zov mimeno." That she feels this moisture. Okay. Omnom, nira de be'ina, he modifies this a little bit. He doesn't disagree with it, but he modifies it a little bit. He says, "Be'ina shetageh shezov mimkoru." And I don't think he's saying, I don't think he's arguing the Nehuda. I think he's saying what the Nehuda has to mean. She feels a sensation of the dam coming out, not just being in the canal, but coming out of her uterus. All right. In effect, see, according to the Navi Huda, if you leave it as it is without the Chavis Das's aura, so the Hargosha is the chronology doesn't work. Okay, the timing doesn't work out. Okay, because the Navi Huda is saying that the Hargosha could occur in the bias achitzon, all right? And that's a problem because, I mean, she's considered an idam. We said that she's considered a derisive when the blood is in the bias achitzon, right? Even before it came out, that was the first source of Misara. So she could be an idam derisive before she had the Hargosha, right? According to the Yehuda, it comes out a little funny chronologically, right? So she could end up being a technically an idam derisive technically before she had the Hargosha. Right, so if we assume that only Riyas Dam with Hargosha makes it Nida Daraisa, and he says the Hargosha is after she's already declared a Nida, the Dam is in the Bayis Achitza already, so you're stuck. I thought you need the Hargosha, right? So therefore, the Chavis Das modifies it. He says the Hargosha, he agrees that Zivas Daralach, like the Nebuhuda, is the Hargosha, okay? But that's only true if she felt it when it was inside, still the bias as it came out. She felt, she didn't necessarily feel any opening, but she felt the sensation of it coming out. Okay? So therefore, I don't know if it's a machlokas or not, but that's the Chavis Das. Okay? That's what he kind of modifies in the Yehuda. Otherwise, he said the timing, And again, we go back to that Ramban, okay, who said that the whole Hargosh has got to be B'shah Shadam Yotze. All right, that was the language of the Ramban. B'shah, and he wasn't taught Zivut Havalah, but the Ramban said that. All right, that has to be the time when it comes out. So, yeah. All right, so that's the horror of the Chavis Das. Okay, just to look at a couple of other Achronim here on this issue, we'll discuss it back and forth a little bit. Tzemach Tzedek. There were two Tzemach Tzedeks, two Jewish Tzemach Tzedeks. Tzemach Tzedek, there was a Tzemach Tzedek of Nicholsburg, a little bit earlier Achron. His name is Menachem Mendel. And not everybody whose name Menachem Mendel is a Lubavitcher. Okay, my name is Menachem Mendel, and I'm not a Lubavitcher. Okay, and nor do I come from any Lubavitcher line. It's a perfectly good name, but it's a fine name for Lubavitchers too. But today, most of Menachem Mendels in the world are named, all the Chaim Mushkas were named after the Rebbetzin. So, Lubavitch, all the Menachem Mendels were named after. I don't see them do that in general. Right? If someone dies, they're named after the Rebbe.
Is that Ashkenazi don't name after one?
No, after he died. Oh, those little babies. Okay, I'll go into that problem now. But it's a good kasha to ask on that group. Okay, but all the Mendes, all the babies today, they're babies called Mendy. I think that was when after the old Satmar Rosenberg, the old Teitelbaum, when he died. So all the Satmar Chassidim named. Somebody told me this was many years ago, 25 years ago or more. No, more than they died, but maybe 35 years ago. So that's all the Yoli. They're all called Yoli. That's why. They're all called Yoel. So people now sort of refer to Satmar as Yolis, because every other guy's a Yoli. So when the kids were 4 years old, 4 years after he died, in the kindergarten, in Satmar, every kid was named Yoel. Every kid who came to class had the same first name, a little confusing for the cubbies, And I think of them, maybe half of them were called Yoel Weiss, because Weiss is a big name by Satmar also. So a lot of kids the same name. Anyway, so, but Menachem Mendel is a Lubavitch, and so the Tzemach Tzedek is a Lubavitch, okay? The Tzemach Tzedek of Nicholsburg was earlier, he has called Chuvah Tzemach Tzedek. But the Lubavitch Rebbe, the second Lubavitch Rebbe, after the Balatani, was called also the Tzemach Tzedek. Huh? The grandson of the Balatani. It's called Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach in Gematria is Menachem. That's why it's 131. I have no idea because my name is 138. Okay, Gematria. So that's called Tzemach Tzedek. And a lot of people hint at their names when they write a sefer. They hint at their names in the title of the sefer. So anyway, so you have to distinguish sometimes. You look in our chronim, but when they call the Chuvim, the Tzemach Tzedek, is the Tzemach Tzedek of Nicholsburg or the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch? So luckily in the CD source here, whatever it's called, in the database, it says Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch. Anyway, what he says is follows, Yerodeus Simen Tzadi Zayim, Os Yud Aleph. Okay, that's his chuvah. Yeah, they're important chuvahs. Olam Golem. Okay. So sometimes they refer to the Tzemach Tzedek Nibsburg, and you'll see it with Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmon. He was earlier. Okay, anyway, so what does he say? So this is in this chuvah. See, he doesn't like the Raya of the little Behuda. Okay, and he says that the Yehuda holds that the woman has to feel that the moisture leaves and goes into the bias of chitzon, all right? He said the raya. Let's take a look. 27. Nun beis. That's not a Yehuda. Right? Nun beis. Not a Yehuda. Hochiach. We bivsara. The hargosh is bias of chitzon. Mashezobo nikras bivsara. That's the only thing that's called bivsara. That was not was all raya. And he says ain't the raya. The gamma chenanikra basar. Who says, the whole area is called basar. It wouldn't be, he doesn't think that raya is such an ingenious raya. The part of the chitzon for the first drasha, the tam of the chitzon, bachutz kibifnim, there, bivsara means bachutz. But that doesn't mean the rest of the part is also not called basar. Because, he doesn't think it's a great raya. She goes, Mirkum with Hosar, Al kain ein metamay chayetz ala bayis chitzon. We come from Gamla, the Yiddish, and the Bina, she yargish betchilas iridos alabayas achitzel. That's going back, let's check the Chavis Das. Because even though he's not impressed with who's raya, he said, because the whole thing can be called basar. Yeah, for the purpose of drasha, so we make a distinction. That's what bivsara means there. That's not the exclusion of any other area there. It's also bivsara. That's the Tzemach Tzedek. Okay. In 28, I printed the Chuvas Yehuda Yala, it's Yehuda Asad. His Chuvas, huh? He's saying he's not. Remember, those first raya that the word bivsar has to mean the same thing. So for the first drasha, b'sara means the b'ayin sachita. That's what I mean here also. And the Tzemach says lam davka. Yeah, it does mean that, but the whole area is called b'sara, right? You can't say it has to be the exact same centimeter. It means that area, right? So he doesn't think that's the greatest right. But at the end, he says, but according to the Yehuda, you have to say v'tchilas yudas ol b'ayin sachita. That much. He says, even that's like the Chavis Das, right? That has to be that she feels the sensation of it coming out. The Tchila Siridasa, when it first comes out, not later on. Okay, that's the Tzemach Tzedek. Yehuda Asad, Chuvas Yehuda Yaleh, Tzemach Bari Asad, Chelek Anam, Chelek Ardeh, Tzemach Kuf Tzari Dalet. Okay, he says, Hine Yofar Isha Askomas Rova Achronim. He takes it, it's not just a little Yehuda. Okay, he describes this as as Rova Achronim, right? He says, most Achronim hold that Zivas Daralach Levad, Mikra Gosha. Okay, I don't know who did a survey, but at least in his opinion, is a widespread view, is my point. Okay? But I got the Mari Uda, the Chuvas Haramosh, the Tartori Zon, Sosan Kutsari. He brings it right, which is a little complicated to go into right now. But anyway, she feels that. Ava Margeshes, what he says is, look at the third line. Ava Margeshes Rak Shazov Beprozor Lamato. Again, like the Chavis Das, if she just feels that sensation when the blood is quote unquote further down, further close, you know, closer to the outside of the body, and she did not feel anything at an earlier stage, that's not called the Hargosha. You follow? So he's also modifying. So these are kind of, as I say, kind of modifying the Chavis Das is the clearest in a way. But again, these other Achronim are. Are also modifying the Not of Yehuda. And again,
it's very similar to the Chavis Das.
Yeah, right. There it is. Second one. Hiskim Chavis Das. Yeah. So I don't think that necessarily they're arguing Not of Yehuda. They're just clarifying. Okay. However, the Chassam Sofer in three different tshuvas disagrees. Chassam Sofer disagrees. Chassam Sofer rejects Not of Yehuda completely. Okay. He says that, you know, a basic point, nobody before the Yehuda ever said this, leaving out the Rashba, I don't think it's right. So let's just look, I quote a couple of Tshuvas. One is, Shasus Chasam Sofer Chelek Derideus and Kuf Mem Hei. Okay. B'kosher lehachnis roshi b'yisr koreis, al-kanani omer b'vada ima isha margeshes mamesh kosher lehater, al-kifi aniri mikosish shalasecha, she'ein argosh al-azivas davalah, b'nei b'tshuvas shev Yaakov. This was one of the earlier Achonim. Mochiach dal kochach zivas daralach lav hargoshei. Okay, and he brings a raya to that because we actually mentioned, okay, that same Gemara Daf Nun Zayin spoke about meiraglayim. Okay, remember that was one of the Gemara challenges, the first of the challenges to the whole din of Shmuel. You need a hargosha was related to the case when she was, you know, she had bladder pressure, so she had to urinate standing up and so on, and you know. So that whole issue. So it's talking about Meir Aglayim. So he says, "Kosher Masav Yeshkan Habavada Argusha Zivas Dover Lach." She felt liquid. She felt more. She urinated. She felt moisture. By definition, right? Ala Kocha Shein Zehargusha. They're gonna call that a Hargusha. Who knows what it is? Yeah. Oh, okay. So with the modification of the Behuda, we're better. But that's what he says. Hagam she mori. Now this is a. I know, but the sensation inside you don't know, right? You can't really tell, all right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? In other words,
is that true?
I don't know. But you feel some sort of moisture, something, and that's what he's saying. But hold on one second. He says he has other writers. If you don't like that one, but that's what he says. He says hagam she mori v'zikne hagon. Mahar Shashach, that's actually the great grandfather of the Chassam Sofer from Shmuel Shatan HaKohen, okay, who has some kind of a sefer. He's quoted that Shuvah to Shev Yaakov. Docha Zeh, Shom B'Tshuva, he rejected this to Shev Yaakov. All right, he rejected it. Docha Kama, Yargash HaGosha Gemuri, Yosheva Samai Torah. He says, maybe that's what you're saying, there's a difference, you know, you can tell the difference. But just to know who he is, he was the grandfather of the Chassam Sofer. The story is, I know Shafalai tells us over also, the Chassam Sofer is Bar Mitzvah. gave a drasha. Oh, this is some sort of bar mitzvah. He gave a drasha, and I think it's this great grandfather's pshat on something or other. Some sofer shlugged up when he had his bar mitzvah drasha, and his father was insulted. Felt like a pogrom in the kavod of our elder zaydin. Some sort of gave a patch. Okay, and that's when Nassan Adler, who was the rabbi, they said, "What do you mean? What are you giving the boy a patch for? That's kachi darka shel Torah." Right, you know, we find something someone says, you challenge it, you try to bring proof the other way, we give him a patch, and that's when he went away to learn. Some sort of left him and went to learn by Nassan Adler, among other people. So that's this great grandfather. Okay, anyway, you heard the story, right?
Just telling it, you're just saying it this morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. So
you didn't stop projecting, and I can learn.
You didn't stop projecting, yeah. Yeah, so Shad likes to tell all the stories. So anyway, right. So even though my Elta Zayda said like this, he was a doche the right, and he said it maybe is different. Anyway, he says, "Bekol malkum ziva star relachi." Not yesh lidchok was old. Okay, and then he mentioned something else. Let's remember what we said. Let's go back. He refers to this Gemara, okay, which says that Hargosha, when she begins to have a nida, can wake her up. It's disturbing. Okay, look at the back in 19. Remember that Gemara? Yishena nami agav tsara misara. Okay, a sensation of liquid is not going to wake you up. A shaking will, but you know, he thinks it's not going to wake you up, right? Kol hagoshi machmasar, I did double loch, lo misara. That's probably not going to wake you up. Maybe depend on the deep sleep you are. Anyway, so
that's only kasha if you assume that you're just saying that it's only
right, correct. That's true. So what you were saying, okay. Anyway, so he does. Bottom line, Chassan Sofer doesn't like it. I printed another tshuva in 30. Chassan Sofer again. The other day, some kuf and gimel. The afal of the gav, the tshuva acharis, the one we just saw. She ikar the zivas davarach lo have argosha. Okidas mori zikna gomer yeshach. Right, the tshuva she yankov raya brur shalom and so on and so forth. Okay, because meraglim and so on. And I rejected the. And yet another tshuva, later tshuva, also chelik ardis in kuf sam zayin. Omnam neged amgeder hargosha is a mekel dafke kesher gisha psichas pe amokar mamish ke pashtius l'shamas shel tshumas hadeshen. The some sources that we go back to the lashon of the tshumas hadeshen. Okay, that's the earlier authority, and the psichas pe amokar and so on. The low of the third line toward the end. The low of hargosha kala zivas doralach. Okay. And maybe it could be Meraglim, other things. Okay, so in all these places, you can look through the Tshuva itself, and nobody before nobody would have mentioned Zivas Tavala, and there's no reason why we should, you know, why we should say like that. Okay, so that's the Chassam Sofer. Now, what do I mention here? Good. Now, take a look, the Maram Shik in a different Tshuva. Two Tshuvas later. 32. Chelik Ardeis and Kuf Pei Dalin. Okay. He kind of answers, the Maram Shik answers on behalf of the, he was a Talmud of Chassam Sofer. But, you know, Chassam Sofer, I guess his major Talmud was his son, the Chassam Sofer, but also the Maram Shik was it. But here the Maram Shik disagreed with the Chassam Sofer. He kind of defends the Navi Yehuda. Okay. He thinks the Navi Yehuda is right. Okay. Just 1 second. Okay, he thinks that's an avuda. He thinks that's correct. Although he talks about the possibility of combination, she has that and also shinui beguf. Let's remember the Maram Shik was the one who said that the cramps and everything else. He kind of doesn't back off from that, but he says. He basically defends Rabbi Yehuda. Also, the Chai Adam in 33, okay? Bottom line, let me just clarify what I mean. Let's remember the Maram Shik L'shitoso. Maram Shik said that any kind of physical sensation is unusual. So that includes Zivas Daralach, right? That's also an unusual sensation, right? And that's what the Chai Adam also said. The Chai Adam from Avram Danzig, okay? So he was... in Vilna in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He was mechutin to the Gaon, and his work on
he's been to the grandson.
Yeah, to the family. Yeah, yeah, right. He calls him the mechutin. It's like what is it? Base, what is it? what's the lesson? The chassid the benesia kind of thing. Okay, anyway, bottom line is that Chayyim lived there. I mean, he was in Vilna. Chayyim was in Vilna. That was around Danzig. So the Chayyim is his work on Arachayim. But he also wrote a work called Chochmas Adam on Yardaya, which is worth looking at. And in the footnotes, it's called Binas Adam. So the Binas Adam in 33, Shar Beis Hanashim, Simon Zion, Siv Zion. He also defends him of Yehuda. Nira Liba Delo Kosher Tagish Yeti Dam Shalom Kosher Tzuk Shosha Tanoi. Aleph Shetagish Rotanom and Afuke Shalom Bargosha. Beis. Afilim Tagish Shinta Hamok Yotzim and Lecha Levona Lama Tahora Ladaf Kedam. So he's saying, he's giving all the dinim, right? So number one, you have to have Argosha. Number two, you have to know that it's not Argosha of anything, it's Argosha of Dam. Go back to that Ramana. Gimel Shakozman Shalom Yotzim and Amok and Aproza Torah Achiyetim Sora the Hainam and Shanaim and Laputz. Okay, that's the basic definition. Kadisha Shom, that's worth reading just to see his lashon. Then he writes, the old Barambam, Parakev is Elashon, he quotes the Rambam about the Nizdaza Guf and so on. And, just a second. And the third paragraph, he says, he refers to another Behuda, look, I write, Shema mina b'vsor kol kol guf v'nemal adayin shematzosi raizu b'tshuvas Adoni Mori v'Rabbi Nodu Yehuda. I defend, he said that Adoni Mori v'Rabbi, that really any type of change inside the body, any type of sensation inside the body, and that's what counts. Okay? And, one second. I'm looking for something else that he said.
He's the one who quotes the Rav.
Oh, he's. Did he? Where is it? I thought.
In the fourth line.
The top?
Yeah.
Where do you see that? Let's see it.
The fourth line of the quotation
in the design. Two lines in the Zelosh and the Torah Sabayas. Oh, there it is. Zelosh and the Torah Sabayas. Oh, okay, there it is. Okay, I knew I didn't make it up. Okay, so so the Chayyim's Bekiyas works. But then at the end, he defends, towards the end, the last paragraph, he defends the idea that it's a different Hargoshas, okay, and sometimes you can be Hargoshas Meraglaim. There's a difference between the two. That's basically what he says. On the other hand, the last one I want to look at before summarizing, and we'll wrap up in just a few moments, the Aruch Lanier, in Nida, Aruch Lanier is of Yaakov Ettlinger, who was a big Rebbe in Germany. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shasha for Hirsch. We have the Chuvus, Binyan Tzion from him, and he wrote Aruch Lanier on Sukkah Mesechta, a whole bunch of Mesechta, including the Sukkah. In the back, you have the Bikur Yaakov on Sukkah, the Mishmur quotes all the time. Anyway, so Yaakov Ettlinger was a big role. So the Aruch Lanier, Nida Nun Zayin and Beis, he also discusses this topic, and he also says he also dismisses the Yehuda. And he says, because there has to be some sort of tsar, some sort of pain. Look at the end. He says, Ulak Shizamaki E Fsha Bala Hagosh's Ksas Tsar. Al Mashakidish Bishal Sus Nabi Huda Shigam has Zobas Dabalah Mikir Tsarh Ian. Okay, the aim is Hagosh's Tsar. The idea of the shaking body and all these things is some discomfort. There's no discomfort that's associated with feeling this moisture inside your body. It's not discomfort. Now, I don't know, he's not speaking, I guess, of personal experience, but it's not, apparently it's not uncomfortable enough to be classified as our gushes tzar. There's some sort of pain, okay? That's what he says. All right, anyway, so the machlokes about this issue. We take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, who usually gives a good summary. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings the matter down to today, because we have a problem. Bottom line, in terms of it's not as there, it's a lot more difficult to assess any of this stuff. Okay, it's a lot more difficult to assess any of this stuff. Again, they have the three, the Rabbi Huda said what he said, the Chavizdas modified it, and the Chassam Sofer rejected it altogether. Okay, the Moshe Feinstein, as we'll see, was Choshesh for the Rabbi Huda. Okay. But others don't. Okay, I think Rav Adya is safe. If you look at the end of the sheets, I left 38. You have to fill it in by hand because it's not in the database. So it's the Sefer Taras Habayis for Rav Adya Yosef. He has a Sefer on Nida. Huh?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't too. It's a wonderful thing. Like everything else, he quotes everything. So we'll come back to that point. He does not like Tanabu. He rejects Tanabu also. He always accepts Sofer. So we'll come back to that point in a second. What's the problem with Manazeh? Because, you know, ask women, what do they actually feel? I mean, you know, why don't we consult with some women? What do they actually feel? And Lamaisa, most women claim today, they don't feel anything. Okay, they don't feel anything opening. They do get cramps, but leaving out the Maram Shik, because most people assume the pre-cramps don't count as Argosha. And they certainly don't feel any moisture and so on. It's not like that. Okay, then the women don't notice it. All right, and it'd be difficult to say that every one of these women today only need the, not need the derisa because they don't have Argosha. So you have to figure out exactly what, you know, what's going on. So now we come back to what we learned at the beginning. Okay, that Gemara in Nidadaf, not Nun Zayin, we mentioned yesterday, we said that there's sometimes she has a Hargosha, but it's masked. She doesn't know she had the Hargosha because it was blocked by something else. And that's what many assume. So let's look at, you hear what I'm saying? You hear the problem? We have, it's very nice to have all these svaras of what's called the Hargosha. But Lamaisa, at least today, Shapta once suggested, you know, why it's different today. The answer is because women are much more active. Okay, they're going and doing things, you know, you don't notice. You know, maybe you're sitting around, you know, all day, doing nothing or you know, whatever women did, they were less active, certainly, than today, for sure. Okay, it's not a chauvinistic comment, it's the reality. Women were less active. So he said, today, you know, most women, you know, they don't feel anything because they're active during the course of the day, going and driving and running and then working. So they don't notice it. I mean, a lot of times, think of ourselves as men. So, you know, you have to go to the bathroom, but you don't think about it. You know, you're busy with something else. Then suddenly you realize, even though the sensation may have been there earlier, but you're busy with something else, right? You don't do it. So it's perhaps similar in this regard. But anyway, let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. In our siman, Kuf Pei Gimel. Okay, Sif Samachal. The Da'ash and Imsa B'tshuva L'Echem Magdolim. That's the Shev Yankon quoting this Marshashach, the great grandfather of the Chassam Sofer. Shechok Ozel Anoshim B'kiyos V'amalosh Tivis Tivis Yesh. They're different natures. Women are different. As in Tanya Achonim, earlier than us now. Yesh Men Shemargishos B'tzichos K'yamokor. Some women do feel some kind of sensation opening. Yesh Men She'ena Margishos Bargoshes. Urak Bargoshes D'zivas Dam Lach. Dam Nida. Okay? But that he says Kula Margishos. Okay? V'hevel Yivtze P'yanoshim Elo Yodei My Kamra. Okay? Rabbi Sena, I mean, has a lesson. Rabbi Sena Nemonim Aleni Yosemahan. You know, what do you mean? The Rabbanim say this is a Hargosha. I told you that the story with my son's friend, whose wife counted the whole sphere. And I mentioned this to him? Yeah. Right, she counted the whole sphere. She's very excited. She a couple years ago, she the whole sphere. And I was like, well, obviously you didn't, because the Mishnah Berurah says women are going to forget. So obviously you did forget. What do you mean you count the whole sphere? The Poskim say you're going to forget, so you forgot. So what does it mean? So the Behuda says on the one hand, the Aruch HaShulchan writes on the one hand, Nemonim Aleinu Arabonim. On the other hand, the Gam Einon Meshakas, is a woman not lying. Right? Einon Meshakas with Ivrayan. Right? So, I mean, how do we rectify it? It's a Matthias problem. On the one hand, the Chacham determined X, Y, and Z, this is a Hargosha. And then the women are saying they don't feel it. Some do feel it. Some don't feel what they're lying. They're not lying either. So how do we rectify the Matthias with what the Chacham said? So he says, Elish and Mavinos, they had it. And they're not lying. They talk it and feel it because they don't realize that that's a Hargosha. Okay? And and so on. So the Aruch HaShulchan, basically, again, he's not saying that women they know what they're talking about. It doesn't mean in that sense. He's telling you that Lamaisa, many of our women today don't notice it. In effect, that's really what the Aruch HaShulchan gets at. Okay, and here in Sif Samachala, in other words. Those who say they don't feel the psilas piyamokar, so they're not lying, they don't realize. The Chazal understood that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, created the world in such a way that anything comes out means something had to open up. He compares it to Maraglion. Okay, and then something opens to urinate, right? Well, you don't feel the sensation necessarily of things opening, necessarily. Sometimes you do, depending on the distinction between the Kohen Gadolim, the Kohen Katanim, and so he mentions this. You can read in the Aruch HaShulchan. But the bottom line that Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that there is a Hargosha, she just doesn't necessarily, sense it. And if you look in Siman Samach Vav 35, Begam Shari Raya Sheheviu Ain't a rise called Rock Vikra, Dovitz Madalay, the Mirgishi, Zivis Dovala, Uban La Kosh, Ain Shach, Shem Sarbazain, has that problem with the Nodhud also, that she has noticed it and so on. In any event, he concludes at the end, does the Aruch HaShulchan, at the very end, he says, Lefiz Adiva was saying about Shem Chayom, but Hagoshi Psichas Pia Mokar. Okay, Psichas Vichain Ikra Ladina, that's what he says. But his point is that, again, you know, the nature of the Bria is that when something in the body has to get out, something has to open to get it out. So when Dam needs to leave, the Mokar opens up. It does open when the blood comes out. There is a Hargosha. But sometimes we don't notice it. As I say, it's a Shekla said, because I don't notice because they're busy doing other things. That's their Hashulchan. Rav Moshe Feinstein, will wrap up. Tuvus Igus Moshe, Yerdei Chelek Dalet Simen Yud Zayin. Os Zayin. Again, Yerdei Chelek Dalet Simen Yud Zayin. Os Zayin. All right? Says also, right? Achokas Achavaz Das and Adi Huda. So first of all, he learns that the Achavaz Das was disagreeing with Adi Huda. He wasn't modifying, but disagreeing. Calls her Achokas. Yergisha Shiyatz Megufa. Have a lower Gisha Zav HaMakar Lame Prozor. Achavaz Das over there in Argosha. Yeah, Achavaz Das says just feeling something inside the vaginal wall is not enough. Because you know, you have to feel when it comes out. Because of the Huda, the low Kermash and Adi Huda. Hine lo yadul anashi shalano. This is a key for us. Hine lo yadul anashi shalano in Argosha. So in Argosha. Certainly, if you're worried about this machlokas, so Moshe writes, I mean, you know, for sure, women don't distinguish in where the dam is coming from. In other words, at what point did they notice it? Just the prozor, it's here, you know, I don't see it. The kosher can't change Ragash and Makar and Aliyah. All right, so therefore, he says also, Shavizmanazah Aimikis, with Osha Lachain called Dam, Shatargi Shaisha, Vitiosan Temeyan. All right, then that's real dumb. But he says in the second paragraph, "Avol kol zeh b'hergisha yitzia me'aguf, avol mashergisha shenase bein raglei lach beizah mashke ein lahachshiv zeh lahargosha." First, he says that would not be okay. But at the end, he seems to imply, I don't know if I printed all true. He seems to imply that we should be machmer for the Nodav Yehuda. Okay, so the Moshe says. I mean, going over it again, the Trumas Hadeshens, you know, most women do not report that they felt Psichos Pia Mokar. And the Rambam's din of Mizdaz Agufa is also pretty rare, unless you take into account the Ramshik's extension of that to other types of cramps. But I said that means our Rosh is earlier, and that's really hard to say. And even the Zivas Daralok is also rare. So therefore, the what do we do? So again, Rav Moshe writes that women don't often feel the Hargosha. We're not experts in knowing it. We don't know where it came from. So therefore, she should be machmer anything that's inside. And when she feels the lachus over there, so maybe that's outside her body, that's not Hargosha. But when she feels it leave her body, that's a Hargosha. And that's what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Adi Yosef, I also printed, by the way, Tshuva here, the Shevet HaLevi, that's Rav Osner.
The way that Rebbe just described Rav Moshe, how is that different than the Nodav Yehuda?
At the end, he says it should be Choshen Nodav Yehuda. That's what he's saying, yeah. Okay. The Sefer HaLevi, Chelek Beis, Sim Peches, 37. He says, Iker B'Zekadat Chassam Sofer, and all this is, the Zivas Daralach is not. So again, it's a Machlokas and Achronim, really, whether it counts or not. I'll just read to you now from... Well, you can put in 38. You can look it up if you want. The Sefer Taras Habayis. They have it in the Beis Medrash. You have it at home. You can take a look. Taras Habayis. Chsimen Aleph Oz Dalet. So I'll read it to you now. Im hirgisha isha zivas davarloch. Nachar kach haros adam al... Right now. Al chaluka. Okay. She felt the zivas davarloch and then she saw dam. Yesh omrim shahargosha kazos. Nechsheves hargosha gemura. Yitmeh min haTorah. Okay. Yesh omrim she'ein zechashuv hargosha ve'ein atmei ala v'darbanan. We're only dealing with deraisa here, right? There'll be a kesem darbanan. V'halocha kisvar achrona. So he holds like the, you know, some sofer. Again, that'll be l'halocha kisvar achrona. V'afil l'svar rishonan, even the first one, which is not a behuda. Zeh davka kishir gisha v'tziyas davalach min ha'mokar. Avim lo gisha v'tziyas ala v'prozdo ha'recham l'chol ha'deyas en ha'chshev az hargosha v'tmei rakma darbanan because of kesem and so on and so forth. So, again, these are, so the question on Chorma, are we choshish with Nabi Hood or not? But Lamaisa, just to conclude, it doesn't end up making a big difference because we don't really perceive it. So, you know, if you look in the contemporary things, right, basically it comes out la'alecha the following, as follows, all right? Again, based on the Aruch HaShulchan and others, we assume that there was a hargasha, just didn't notice it. So, whenever a woman has a regular period, okay, we assume that there was a hargasha, okay? She just didn't notice it. But she has a regular flow, normal period, normal monthly period, and so on. So that's a normal bodily function. We assume that whatever hargasha was, she had it. She may not have noticed it, but then we'll consider it deraisa. It's made deraisa. I need the deraisa. Okay? And whenever there's a flow of dam, we'll also say that hargasha took place. She says, of course, I need the deraisa. Even if she didn't, it's not a normal period, but she has an actual flow of dam. Okay? An actual discharge in the form of a flow. Okay? We call something called a heavy flow, okay, which is similar to a period, even if it's not a time of the month. You know, I wasn't expecting it, but you know, sometimes things happen physiologically, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes emotional things play a role in this also. I mean, I'm not saying psychosomatic, but maybe like psychosomatic, but sometimes, you know, external factors can cause a woman to have a period earlier and so on. You know, sometimes hearing some of the shock of something, it's documented, these things can sometimes also impact the body. I mean, so sometimes a person can just hear something, your heart beats faster, I forbid a heart attack. It's like, what does it say? Like Warren McGillis says that when Esther heard the news, what was going on, about Tischalchal and Malkamot, I mean, that person says, a person either. You know, so she's only becoming, so anyway, other things can happen. So she has a regular flow of them, but we're also going to assume that that's an either the Raisa because there was a Hargosha, she just didn't notice it. However, if the yitzia of the dam is just like a stain, she didn't experience any flow or any stream of dam. Okay, just she found the spot, the stain. Then we're going to use the Gemara's term a kesem. That's not going to be needed the raisa. Okay. Now again, it's hard to say what's the difference between a flow and a stain. All right. So again, Rabbanim will have to look at it. Okay, and it'll have to be sort of a common sense a little bit, all right? So, a woman gets her period, and that's it. That's the easiest, okay? And sometimes she just has a small spot, and that's also easy. That's a kesem. And you have to weigh whether that kesem makes her need or not. It depends on the size, depends on the color, depends where it's found. We'll get to that later in the year. So the two extremes are easy. The two extremes are easy. If it's a normal period, okay, then we understand. If it's only a stain, then it is also understandable. But the problems come up when sometimes a woman is on medication. Okay, sometimes medication causes the blood to be discharged in the body. Okay, sometimes you're coming off the medications. All right, and you can't really ask her, do you have hargasha, because she doesn't know. Then we have to know, is it a flow or just a stain? And sometimes there's what's called light flow or light staining and heavy staining. All right, and that's where things kind of become difficult for the person asking the question. Okay, so. If she says, well, I should also mention, sometimes under normal circumstances, women have heavier periods and lighter periods, depending on any number of factors, okay? And you can, if you're interested, you look online and see what causes heavy periods. Well, sometimes a diet can do it, what she ate that the last few days, may have an impact. Again, just think of ourselves. I mean, sometimes you eat something, your stomach hurts a little bit, some people reactive to dairy or whatever. I don't know about allergies. I'm just saying that things that impact the body. Let's remember, sometimes we're so busy learning this. This is a bodily function. It's all a bodily function. So your body's affected by lots of different things. So again, when a woman has a regular period, so like I said, we assume there's hargasha. Okay, she just didn't notice it. If it was just a spot there, she found nothing and just a stain for them. The problem is, so if she says it was a light, like a light period, then we're going to have to treat it as a period. Maybe she gets other periods like this. It's not every month, but it's not uncommon, or she's had in the past, this so-called light period, or they say there's heavy staining, but then she needs a raisa. If she just said she's quote-unquote spotting, okay, then maybe she's not, okay? And you have to figure out, and usually, since we're dealing with a raisa and a potential sicarius, when you're not sure, we probably have to be macher, okay? So again, all this, the upshot of all of this, is that defining hargosha is a good question with three different cheetahs, but practically speaking, it doesn't necessarily have you know, have all these, you know, all that much ramifications. Okay? Yeah, good? Everything good? Okay, we'll stop over here. So, Mr. Shem, I was thinking, I'm going to put the stop, but I was thinking, okay, we'll stop here.